Been looking at the simplicity of the simple life for multiple weeks now. And so one of the things that we have just been evaluating and looking at is how we can complicate things so easily, especially to the world that we live in. So we're just talking about some simple things, but make no mistake, the simple things are not the easy things. All the things that we've been looking at in Romans chapter 12, these directives, these challenges, these admonitions, these different things that God is calling us into, that the Holy Spirit is using Paul to write to this group of Romans, but we believe that he was inspired by the Spirit, that the Spirit was just flowing through him as he penned these words. And so this morning, I just want you to consider what we're going to be talking about this morning, that the hard things motivated by love. Now, for me, these last section of verses, I've been really honest with you, and I've talked to you about how a lot of these challenges, a lot of these directives are difficult because they are so outside of what our human natural DNA and capabilities tend to be. And so these last verses, I've just been honestly painfully seeking the Lord and asking, like, how do we address these? And what I love is when the Holy Spirit meets that cry, that desire, and he responds. And so as I get started this morning, I want to give you an illustration from Lori and I's lives. And we have three adult kids. If you don't know anything about our family, our oldest is Tim, middle is Jacqueline, and the youngest is Megan. They're all married adults now. And so when they were younger, I didn't talk about them a whole lot because, to be honest with you, we were in the middle of trying to figure a lot of things out. So it's like I wasn't dumb enough to set myself up for public failure. But now that our kids are older and things, it's easier to talk about. And I hope that the illustration, the practical illustration that I'm trying to share from my heart this morning will help you understand the depths of the scripture that we're going to be looking at. So I got a couple pictures up here. I want you to see Lori and I, and there again, what if you know anything about our background, I was in youth ministry for the longest time, and then we were in camping ministry. So for those of you that are not aware of that, that's not a lucrative pursuit, if you're with me, okay? So there'd be a lot of times where our family, we were all about having fun in the middle of everything that was going on. So what would happen is somebody would be like, hey, Tim, you want to come speak at a youth event? You want to come do a snow retreat? This happened to be a retreat for a bunch of teenagers, huge group of teenagers. And so I said, hey, man, you know how I am. Can I bring the kids? Absolutely. That was part of me being able to go. So you can see Megan is in the yellow on the left. Tim Jr.'s there in the red. He was more of the, you know, you can see he was a snowboarder. And then Jacqueline's right there, and then that's me. And so next picture you can see, we're just hanging out. We're having fun, snowball fights. Some of you are going to use that picture against them. That's okay. Get a quick pic of that. But we would just do goofy, silly stuff together. The next picture I want you to see, because have you ever done this, if you have siblings or you have friends, where you get down and then you try to stack people on top of you and then stand up and see if you can hold on? So I want you to see this first picture. Megan's on top, and you see where her arms are. And I want you to notice, because Jacqueline's complexion changes a little bit. So the next picture, as they stand up, somehow Megan's arm changes. Can you see that? So Jacqueline, if she looks a little flush, it's because she's fighting to breathe at this point, because she's being choked out while we're laughing and having fun. So that's Jacqueline. I can't breathe. I'm trying to grin, look on her face. And so the reason I show you this is because this is what the Holy Spirit really helped me press into with these last verses that we're going to be looking at. Because we would have fun, but Lori and I, if you know anything about our background, we were begging God, we were praying, we were opening up the Word of God, and we're begging for God's help because we so desperately want to break the cycle of what we'd experienced in our childhood and in our teenage years. So as we're talking, we determined that there were certain characteristics, certain traits that we wanted to instill in our children. It helped us to be able to work together towards something higher than just our own experiences, our own emotions, our own past. So we began to focus together as a husband and wife for the purpose and the mission of our children. Now, some of you, you were in our last Mechanics of Parenting class. And what was really beautiful is for us to be able to present, really the way we did it was for the first time ever, but talk about purposeful parenting. In other words, what is your purpose? What is your mission? What are those big ideas that you as parents are actually intentionally trying to transfer to your children? And so we talked about that. And what's beautiful is we heard some of you begin to share, hey, we have been talking. This is what we want our family to look like. These are those characteristics. And what it's done is we've seen that's created this missional approach to being a parent as opposed to just a responsive. Now, for me, if you know anything about me, as a parent, what terrified me is I was trying to work through that perfectionist standard that had been placed on me. So here I've got these kids, and I'm trying to work through my perfectionism, and I don't want to pass that on to my kids. And yet, so then I'm trying to work through, what is the difference between perfectionism and the pursuit of excellence? And I had some amazing conversations at the end of last service because I talked to multiple men that understand and are still working through, what is the difference between perfectionism and the pursuit of excellence? And I would love to have a conversation with you afterward or later on and talk about that. But this is a very difficult understanding and transition for me to make. I wanted my children to experience my love, but I also wanted them to pursue excellence. So this purposeful parenting that Lori and I were pursuing, and we came up with five attributes, five qualities that we were intentionally trying to pass on to our kids. But it became a game changer because we were able to set a course and work together for these things. We discussed this and we've talked about it, but parenting with a purpose or a mission really accentuates the power that you have as parents. And so I think it's super important because I need for you to consider and understand this. Because this is what I would do. Lori and I, as we're trying to open up the living word of God, and we're not just talking about we're having devotions just for the sake of devotions, but we're trying to talk about what we are trying to model to them. We're experiencing prayer with them. We're praying with them. So we're trying to model all of these different things. But what we would do is we would challenge them with principles and different things. And Lori and I would often ask, now please hang with me as I try to set the stage for the rest of the verses. Lori and I, because of what the scripture was teaching and because of what we were learning about God, oftentimes in elementary, middle, and high school, and then even as they all left for college, what we would typically ask them to do was the excellent thing or the thing that was on the higher plane or the higher level that naturally was difficult. Because we were asking them not to respond in a normal, typical way like their peers were. Now, please understand, there was no cockiness, there was no arrogance, there was nothing like, oh, we're better than other people. We were just learning about God and learning that for ourselves, if we are going to try to get our children moving into adulthood to understand excellence, then we were going to expect, please hang with me, we were going to expect them to press in to do the hard things to be able to understand what excellence really looks like. So here's the reason I showed you those pictures. We weren't asking them to just meet some arbitrary standard. What we did is we spent time together. We laughed. We goofed around. We did all kinds of crazy things. You can ask my kids. They're like, my dad is nuts. I don't know how we lived through childhood. I didn't think it was that crazy. It just made sense to me at the time. But we would just do all kinds of fun things. And what we were doing is we were spending time together. And they knew that we loved them. They knew that they could trust us. They had watched us sacrifice on their behalf. Back in the day, they knew things were tight financially. Lori would take them into the thrift store, and we were shopping at thrift stores back then because we needed to shop at a thrift store. And the kids would say, like, hey, Mom, why don't you get something? This looks like your color. This would look beautiful on you. And Lori would say, no, that's okay. She would redirect them. She would deflect them because what it was, they got to see firsthand that our needs were not near as important as their needs. We were trying to model that we love them and that we are willing to sacrifice on their behalf. And what it was when I would ask them, when Lori and I would ask them to consider doing the excellent things, it was out of trust and love and a growing relationship. You get what I'm saying? We were asking them to do the hard things because we're asking them to pursue personal excellence that was above average, not normal, and not common. With that in mind, let's go back to Romans chapter 11, verse 33, and read forward to the first couple of verses that we've been focused on in Romans chapter 12. Listen to this, verse 33. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. And then it jumps into the chapter break. Chapter 12, verse 1 is where we've been. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Doing hard things to learn to live with a new level of excellence that not everyone is willing to pursue. That's the kind of family we're trying to be. This is what Father God is calling us into. And I'm going to say this at this point since I opened with a parenting illustration. If you're a parent of a child, middle schooler, high schooler, I want to just encourage you and also want to challenge you. Because we're currently living in a culture where it seems to be that what parents are trying to do is pacify, coddle, and make things comfortable for their children. Part of parenting is loving and investing and modeling, but also putting your kids in situations and teaching them to do the hard things. Get them outside their comfort zone. Not because you're trying to harm them, but because you're trying to help them develop. Let's jump into Romans chapter 12. I'm going to start back at verse 9. We're going to read in the New King James as we wrap up these verses 17 through 21. Let love be without hypocrisy. We've talked about this. Abhor what is evil. Let's cling to what is good. Let's be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, let's give preference to one another. Let's not be lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible. Now, for some of you, You may want to circle this, highlight this phrase, and be thankful that the Holy Spirit gave you this encouragement, okay? As much as is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Give it a place. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. The God of heaven is telling us how he'll handle things. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me read verse 17 through 21 in the NLT. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. The church of Jesus Christ, we're not better than anybody else, but let me just remind us today that we need to be pursuing a level of excellence, and we'll talk about why, but we need to be an honorable group of people. That means we don't lie, we don't embezzle, we don't cheat, we're not perverts, we're not adulterers. We need to live honorably. With that, I'll move on and keep reading. Thank you very much. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. This is what I want to challenge you this morning. Look at these passages as an example of kingdom excellence. Kingdom excellence. A lot of times we pray, Father, your kingdom come, just the way Jesus said to pray, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. So we're looking at a kingdom excellence here, the way that it would be done in heaven, that level of excellence. And this is not the easy path. These are hard things. We're being given a directive that makes absolutely no sense if we are not motivated by a relationship that is established and built on love. Think about this. The things that Paul just said, if it's not rooted in love and trust, what's the point of pursuing this? But if we are learning to trust God and we're learning about his love, then we are willing to take steps. In the same way that I ask our kids, will you just trust me? I know that this is not what you want to do. I know that a lot of your friends are not doing this, but I'm asking you to trust your dad because I'm asking you to do something that is for your development and your understanding. Whether you get it now, hopefully 10 years from now, you'll understand it and there'll be some breakthroughs. And in the same way, I believe that God is asking us to pursue a level of excellence that proclaims his excellence. That doesn't make sense to our natural world. To where the people would say, why in the world are you being that way? Why are you doing that? The goodness of God touches our lives. And then we learn his ways more and more as we spend time with him. And I'm going to say again, that's why we keep beating the same drum that you have to pursue abiding in Christ. You have to carve out personal private time for that secret place of prayer. No phone, no anything else. You've got to know God personally. His goodness becomes part of who we are. So then we begin to trust him to pursue a level of kingdom excellence that we never thought we could personally achieve. We are not focused, and I just want to remind you, As a church family, this is how we're trying to be. We're not focused on property, holdings, and accounts as our primary definition of excellence. Some of you, I want to encourage you, because you define excellence by the accumulation of wealth. Now, please understand, I'm not saying anything against wealth. Some of you, you're a gifted entrepreneur. God has called you and God has gifted you to do things, and it seems like what you touch, but the point is, use it for his kingdom. Use it to bless the gospel and ministry. But here's the thing, we're not going to define excellence by property and by holdings. This is how we're going to define excellence. Instead, we're going to see ourselves and the people around us as the primary focus of excellence. Let me just remind you again. Look around. Move your neck. Look around at the people around you. See the timbers? This is a beautiful building. It's a beautiful building. We call it Rimback Barn. This is not a church. This is a building. When we do stuff at Good Hope, that's Good Hope Baptist Church property. That's not a church. Because we the church. We could be meeting in a tent. Church. We could be meeting outside on the grass when we have outdoor services. Church. And some of you, I want to encourage you, if words are powerful, I need you to lean in and remind yourself, stop calling buildings churches and start calling us church. Because Christ died for his church. He didn't die for property and holdings and accounts. He died for human beings. The Father said, I'm going to send my son and he's going to die and he's going to shed his blood like the lambs that have been the foreshadowing of this great sacrifice. And I am sending my son to die for us, not this. You tracking with me? The level of excellence is about people and how we respond to people. Human lives are the valued focus of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Human beings are the pinnacle of creation. Just let that soak in. So the way that we trust God and learn and we love more should be reflected in the level of excellence that we're willing to pursue, terrified or not. Not on behalf of increasing our account and health, wealth, prosperity, but enlarging the kingdom of God through human being exposure. We are spiritual beings who were created to know God, to communicate with him, and to have a relationship with him forever. That's what eternity is. Jesus came and lived and died and rose again to seal that opportunity for each and every one of us. I'm going to read Psalm 8 to you in the Amplified Bible. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic and glorious and excellent is your name in all the earth. Look at these words up there. How majestic and glorious and excellent is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens. We talk about it in other words, in other phrases. When we talk about being children of God, heirs, and just talk about being adopted. And you can all use all these things. Listen, what God is calling us to, as we learn his love, as we learn to trust him, he is asking flawed, janked up, messed up, sinful, broken, like we're all, some of the phrases that I used to begin the lesson, we're all in that category of being broken sinners, whatever label we put on it. And he wants to use all of us forgiven, janked up people to proclaim his excellence and his majesty to other people just like us. See, the problem is we go like, yeah, I can kind of buy in. No. We got to buy into that. That's what faith and forgiveness and redemption is. So look at these verses. It says, how majestic and glorious and excellent is your name in all the earth. You've displayed your splendor above the heavens. Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength. Now, I'm just going to say, Old Testament, New Testament, when the kids are making noise, and they're running around making noise, I'm being dead serious. I love that. Some of them say amen way better than you. They say hallelujah, praise the Lord. Go get them, Pastor Tim. Go get them, Pastor Chris. You need to learn from the kids. But this is a beautiful thing here. Look at what it's saying, that those babies display and establish strength because of your adversaries, that you might silence the enemy and make the revengeful cease. This is Old Testament. You see how there's a thread throughout the scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant. God is going to take care of us, and he's going to level the playing field. He makes the vengeful cease. When I see and consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have established, what is man that you are mindful of him? Mind-boggling. Look at all the beauty of the mountains around here and everything that's going on in the spring. What is man that you're mindful of him? The son of the earthborn man, that you care for him. Yet you have made him a little lower than God, some of your versions say, or the angels. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, all the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea. Whatever passes through the paths of the seas, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic and glorious and excellent is your name in all the earth. The creation declares his handiwork. His creation says, majestic and glorious and excellent is your name. How much more, as the pinnacle of creation, are we supposed to be the proclaimers of his excellence? May we be a family of Christ followers that is learning to do hard things to proclaim a level of kingdom excellence that brings glory to our great Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Join us, please. We're asking you. Join us. Experience his excellent forgiveness, mercy, and grace through the work of his glorious Son, Jesus of Nazareth. Believe in and receive his great love for you. Press in with us. By his glorious grace and our imperfect faith, let us learn as his apprentice to walk in his excellent ways. Amen. The simple things are not easy. All the things that we've been talking about, they're simple, but they're hard and they can be challenging. The excellent things that we're talking about this morning, can I tell you, we are beginning to grab a vision of what could happen in this church family and across this region if we stop making excuses, if we stop trying to be normal, if we stop trying to be average, and we pressed into Father God, and we began to yield to the Holy Spirit on a whole new level, and we began to see forgiveness, and we begin to see love exhibited in a manner of excellence that's outside of our human capabilities, and it makes people scratch their heads, it makes people evaluate their hearts, and they are caused to ask, why are these people doing what they're doing? How are they filled with this incredible kind of love? Why would they go above and beyond to show that kind of grace, mercy, and strength on behalf of someone who has cursed them, on behalf of someone who's tried to get them fired? All these different things, because we are trying to proclaim a glorious, excellent God who has forgiven us. Do you understand the level of hope, the level of belief, when you look at somebody else and say, Hey, oh, you're such a good person. No, dude, let me tell you my story. I am not a good person, but I can direct you toward the one who is supremely good. He is excellent. He is glorious. And what he's done for me can spread to anyone who would believe. With this, I'll close. I know not everybody is at a point to do the hard things. So for those of you that are not there yet, take what we're talking about this morning, put it over here, put some Velcro on the back of it, put it up here on the wall, because I can tell you, if you'll just leave it on the wall, the Holy Spirit's going to circle back around at some point and ask you to take it off the wall and grab onto it. And then there's others of you, your heart's racing right now because you are prepared. You are prepared to do the hard things. You are prepared by faith through but just your imperfect faith and grace and mercy and the love of God, because you're learning more about his love, you're willing to just step out there and say, God, I don't get this, but I'm going to trust you. I need your help. You are willing to take a huge step and say, God, I want to learn to do the hard, excellent things because I want to proclaim your greatness, your glory, and your excellence to a lost and dying world. That's why we have prayer groups. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we have life groups. Not because we're trying to produce some type of denominational product, but we're trying to encourage one another as we apprentice and learn to follow Jesus and learn to trust him with the hard things. People in our world need to see the excellent God through our imperfect lives. Please join with us. Let's stand as the worship team comes this morning.